Thanks for coming out. As Jerry said, we have been dealing with these questions, and all of a sudden, here we are, and I'm the second one to be doing this. So bear with me for a minute, and we'll get there. There's going to be, I'm not a, what you call a person who deal with fasting. But in God's word, there's a lot that has been said about fasting. And we are going to look at scripture tonight, just to back up, not what I'm saying, but what the Bible says. And so if you have pen and pencil, you write down all these, because I've been really going through these scripture to back up what I'm going to say. My boys were with us from yesterday, and Joy, just take them and just give me a break. So, yeah, because last night I meant to do a lot, and the house was upside down. When you have 5 years old, you know, it's okay. So it's good to be here, and it's good to talk about these things. Fasting. Each one of us has done some fasting. Maybe not spiritual fasting, but physical fasting. If you're going to get a blood test, say tomorrow, you go to your doctor and he will say, okay, I don't want you to eat or drink nothing from, say, midnight till after we get this service done. And some of these fasting will be even longer. But when we come to fasting in the scripture, there is another name for it, and it said, afflict one soul. And the first time we get this in the Bible is in Leviticus, chapter 16, but 23. And this is when the children of Israel were doing their feast. And as they do their feast, sometimes they were not supposed to eat from what we call from sundown until sundown. That's from sundown this evening until sundown the next day. And that is just one day of fasting. Some of us who fast or try to fast start with maybe half a day. And that's good. Why does one fast? In the Old Testament, there was a lot of reason why they fast. And I'm going to just look at, we're going to look at a couple to start to just show why they fasted. And the first one we're going to look at is Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20 and verse 26. And it said, then all the children of Israel, that is all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. I want to just read it again. Then all the children of Israel, that is all the people. You see, the children of Israel, not one, not two, not 12, but all the people went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. This was a time, I don't know if you remember this, this was a time when the children of Israel, Benjamin was the children of Israel too, but the two sides was fighting. And God said, go up and fight. And they were defeated. And the last time here, it's like, 18,000 of the children of Israel died by the sword. And they couldn't, I guess they couldn't understand it. So they went to the Lord and they fasted and they prayed. And then if you continue to read, they asked the Lord again if they should go up. And the Lord said, go up. And by this time again, they got the victory. You see, we have to believe. We have to believe. And that's one of the first ones that happened. I want to read another one. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And reading from about verse 3, just to get the connection. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. So here is another time the children of Israel, they were worshiping other gods. And Samuel said, you have sinned. The only way God is going to talk to you, you got to turn away from these things, these idols, and prepare your heart. Ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to come back into the house of God. And let me pray for you. And they did that. They did that. And then verse 6 said, so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And so they show what they did. You know, they didn't back away from it. We have sinned. The whole country, the whole people, they sinned against God. And Samuel, the judge, he judged the children right there. We're going to look at a chapter now in Isaiah's chapter 56, or 58, sorry, Isaiah 58. And we're going to see the children again, the children of Israel. They sinned against God. And the prophet Isaiah was speaking to them and telling that they have sinned, you know. So he was shouting out to them. And he said, Isaiah said, cry aloud, reading from verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have you fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls? Here is that word, afflicted our souls, and you take no notice. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high? Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? We just stop there for a minute. So this is what the children of Israel was doing. You know, they sinned, and yet they go to the synagogue and they prayed and they fast and they do every other thing, like they ask God to forgive their sin. But they didn't, you know. They were doing everything just like a sham. And God spoke to them. Is this the kind of things you're doing? Verse 4 said, indeed you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist. Yeah, these are some of the things. Although they were God's people, they sinned against God, and yet they refuse. And they go to the chapel or the church, and they act as if nothing was happening. So in verse 6, God came to them and said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and yet you bring to your household the poor or the cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? So this is God fast. God was telling them, this is what you do when you fast. To loose the bands of wickedness. You know, a fast is when you go in to your chamber, maybe your inner chamber. Because this is what these Israelites was doing. They were doing the fast. They were sitting down in sackcloth and ash. They were covering their face or making all kind of stuff on their face so that people could see them when they come out and said, oh, that guy is fasting from yesterday till today. He hasn't eaten it. And so they will say, that's a good guy. But he was doing it for the people to see him. And in God's way, it's not that way. We're doing these things unto him. And so we go into our room, into our cupboard, into our office, and we do here as he said. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke that chain you or hold you there. Yeah, this is some of the things that God was saying to his people. And he's saying it to us. Because if we're doing stuff and we haven't repented, we haven't asked him to forgive us from our sins, is, you know, it's just going to be bouncing on the wall and drop flat again. And then it's not only that, but we see God's way of fasting. And if you do it right, if we do it right, then if you go forward, we're going to read it, the blessing or the rewards will be ours. So first of all, we have to forgive our sin. We have to move away from them. We have to ask him to forgive us, to cleanse us. And we have to, when we fast, we have to fast so that we are doing it as unto him, not to show, not to do it for ourselves. And, you know, when we fast, fasting and prayer go together. And so if you're doing one or the other, they're generally together. And so this is just what we are saying. I write a little thing here and I say, spiritual fast involves abstaining from all food and drink while focusing on prayer for a set time. It's like doing without something temporary. Not me too much, but we have our iPhone and we have our radio, we have our TV, and the good stuff, iPad and so forth. And it's like you put it down for today, for Sunday, for 2 days, and it's not there on your mind, you know, because you said, okay, I'm going to put it down for a while. And just when that time comes back, I'll go back and look for it. It's a way of redirecting our focus from earthly things towards God. For New Testament believers, fasting was neither commanded nor forbidden. In the Bible, while early Christians were not required to fast, many practiced fasting and prayer regularly. Jesus himself affirmed in Luke 5:35, after his death, fasting would be appropriate for his followers. And we're going to read some of these quotes here. But yeah, you're asking me if it's okay to fast. That was some of the questions. Is it okay to fast? Yes, it's okay to fast. We're going to read individually. I might get chopped down, but there are greater scholars than me in here tonight who can maybe back me up. Let's go over to the first one in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and reading from verse 16. And it said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, who is in secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret place, will reward you openly. And so you ask me if it's okay to fast. And we're going to go right back to the first verse here of verse 16. And it said, moreover, when you fast. It's not of a if, but when you fast. So if we are here and we are deciding this, yes, we can. Yes, we can. When you fast, the individual, you, me, if you're a Christian and you decide to fast, it's okay to fast. And how should we fast? We do it in your room, in your cupboard. What it said here, you do not do it like the hypocrites with a sad face or a sad countenance. This is what the people here in Isaiah were doing. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their rewards. And there is a reward. For you, but you, me and you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, who is in secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And that's the quote there. You do it in secret. And he, our Father, he sees. And he will reward us. The same Holy Spirit penned his verse here. And the same Holy Spirit penned his verse in Isaiah 58. And what is the reward? What is the reward? Let's read these here. Here is the reward here from verse 8 in Isaiah, back to Isaiah. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water does not fail. This is if the individual believer will forgive his sin, turn away from his sin, ask the Lord to forgive him, ask the Lord to cleanse him or her. These are the rewards that the Lord will give us. In Matthew 6 and 18, we don't know the reward yet, but the reward is there. He's going to reward us openly. When we fast in secret, he's going to reward us. And yes, it's the individual. When you fast, you have the right to go into the Lord and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to guide you in these things. And he will guide you. He will take us through these things. To start, I think most of us will start small. Half a day, a full day, and longer. There is lots of people in the Bible who fasted for a period of time. The Lord Jesus himself fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he started his ministry. And how did he do that? He was God himself. 40 days. You know, we have a dock in here, and I remember in the early days, people used to be in prison and they would do a fast. And like 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time, they start to lose weight and so forth. But the Lord himself, 40 days and 40 nights. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights on behalf of the children of Israel. I think maybe twice. Because when he came down the first time, he broke the tablets. And he went back up. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Another 40 days fast was the prophet Elijah. And he fasted after he was running away from Jezebel. The angel came back the second time and said, heat, because the journey is too far. And that food take him 40 days and 40 nights before he heat again. David, a man of God's heart, he fasted He fasted for the King Saul and Jonathan, his son. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the quotes or where those were found. Moses is found in Deuteronomy 9, 9 and 18, and then 10, 10. Jesus fasted for 40 days, 40 nights for his ministry. Matthew 4, 1, 2. And then you could read further down to 11 where why he fasted. The devil tempted him. He's going to start his ministry, and he said, turn these stones into bread. And the Lord Jesus said, man shall not eat by the bread alone, but by the word of God. Yeah. David, he not only fasted, but he mourned and he cried. He, for King Saul and Jonathan, his son. 2 Samuel 1:11-12. And then Esther, Queen Esther, fasted on behalf of her, of the Jews. And Mordecai say to him, you say to her, don't think that if you don't help us, it won't touch you. You're a Jew. And maybe we should read that because I don't want to misquote. But that one is found in Esther chapter 4, 13 through 16. But all these people, maybe I should do one more in the Old Testament. The people of Nineveh, that was a great thing. After Jonah gave the message, all the people of Nineveh fasted, including the king. Yes? That is found in Jonah 3, 5 through 9. And so, why did they fast? There was something going on in their life. It was too hard for them to just pray. And so they took the time to really get close to God. It's not me, but it's them. That's what they did. They saw that this was out of their reach, and they want to get close to God Almighty. And they did that. They go down on their knees, and they fasted, and they prayed. And today, men and women are fasting because sometimes the burden is very hard, and they want to get near to God or closer to God. And they do this thing. In the New Testament, the disciples of John the Baptist fasted. Matthew 9, 14 through 15. The elders in Antioch fasted before sending off Paul and Barnabas. Acts 13, 1, 3. Cornelius fasted and sought God's plan of salvation. Acts 10:30. His name was Paul, but before that he was Saul. And Saul fasted for 3 days after God, the Lord Jesus, met him on that road there. And after that, the Lord gave him back his sight. Yeah. And then Paul, he fasted 14 days while he was at sea on a sinking ship. You know, the waves and everything was so boisterous and everything was going on. And Paul at last said to the men, we have to eat. And then after they hit, they throw the cargo overboard, because the ship was going to sink, and they think by doing that, that would save them, but it didn't. The ship did break. And one more, and this is Old Testament. David fasted and mourned the death of Abner. 2 Samuel 3, 35. And so we go through these very difficult time. Should I fast or can I fast? Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to just read from verse 33. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And here the Lord said, "And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." And this here is speaking about the Lord Jesus. While he was here on earth, he was with his disciples. But now he's taken away. He's not with us. And so, is it saying that we should fast or we can fast? It's a quote here. I left that with you. But he's saying, the bridegroom is here, so the friends of the bridegroom don't have to fast. They don't have time to fast because the bridegroom is right here. We are going with him. We are going to sing with him. We are going to show him this, and we are going to show him different things. So Jesus said, no, they don't have to fast because the bridegroom is here. But the time will come when the bridegroom is taken up, and then they will fast. It's not the church to say call a fast, because the scripture we read in Matthew, it's saying you, but you, when you fast, but you. Now, if you want to call another believer and say, can we get together to fast, then that's different. But we, as individual, it's on you. If you fast, it's okay, and so forth. Since there is no biblical command to fast, believers should be led by the Holy Spirit on how to fast and how long to fast. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. This was accomplished through the Holy Spirit empowerment. The believer should spend time alone with God in secret and in prayer and in fasting. And he, the Lord Jesus, God, will reward them in the open, in the public, that day when they do not have to fast. There's a couple more quotes that I would like to read. Here's another one in Acts chapter 10. And reading from verse 30, and it said, "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this very hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes and said, Cornelius, your prayers has been heard, and your harms are remembered in the sight of God." So we see here he was fasting, but he was praying. He was also praying about what he should do. What was this? What did this miracle, this dream mean? He was a righteous man, and yet he wondered. And he fasted for 4 days. This was 4 days. In the end of the 4 days, And there was, this vision came to him. Your prayers have been heard. God, do you know why? One of the reasons, I say, he was in secret. Yeah, he didn't tell no one. He was finding out or seeking to know what this was. And here it was when Paul came. Paul had the same vision. And so we look forward, dear ones, one of these days when all of these things shall come into our life, maybe hard things that we can't even imagine, that God will show us. But before we do that, we have to repent from any sin that is hindering our lives. And then go forward. Not only ask him to forgive us, but to walk away from the things that hinder us from doing the right thing. Yes? There is lots more quote in the Bible. I just pick a couple. There's lots more quote. And as further as we go, we learn more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. In our quiet time, in our devotion, in our prayers, in our fasting, and in yielding ourselves to him. Dear ones, one of these days, all this shall pass, and we shall be with our blessed Lord forever. Until that time comes, we will be faithful. We will be watching, and we will be waiting till he said, "Welcome, thou good and grateful servant." Until that time comes, we'll continue to plug on, keep on plugging, and serving him in the little that we do here on earth for him, and he will show us his way. Let's just give thanks. Our Father and our God, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you, Father, for these scriptures we read tonight, and some of them enlighten us that fasting is good. But we can't come to the Lord to fast, or we can't fast if there is sin in our life or we are not cleansed. Father, help us to be true believers. Believers who walk with thee, believers who talk with thee, and believers who are cleansed by your blood. We thank you, Father, that we who were sinners, we were lost, we were heading for a lost eternity. And yet, Father, you love us with an everlasting love, and you gave your Son to die for us. We thank you again tonight for your word, our Father. We thank you for your people here tonight. We think of others who are outside this meeting tonight, those we know, those who are going through difficulties, those who are going through hard times. Father, just continue to minister to them and cause as the day go by, Father, they might realize your presence is always there. Thank you again, Father, for your word. And bless us tonight as we leave this place. We give thanks for all your goodness. We praise you, we love you, and we adore you, and we give thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name.